jam! Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another fun-filled episode of Monday Night Magic here on twitch.tv/themanapool. I am Chewy.
True.
And it is, what is this? Monday Night Magic number 635. You can see it says it right down there.
Numerals.
Right there. Yeah.
And if you're watching, listening to this, imagine.
Yeah, imagine a 6 followed by a 3, and then after those, there's a 5.
Yeah.
That's what it says right under Squee.
Yeah.
Also, over there is Squee.
Hey, look at that.
Yay.
I'm on the internet. I'm sorry.
Well, you should be. The internet is a dangerous and sordid place.
That is true. That's why Ralph has to break it.
Oh, that was such a good movie.
I enjoyed it.
I did too. But anyway, so this is, as I said, Monday Night Magic number 635. You might notice the complete lack of a Clues, because Clues is on a boat.
Yeah, he is.
He's somewhere in the South Pacific? No.
He's given up on land and decided to flee.
Wait. Oh, he was in Florida, so he's somewhere in the Atlantic.
Hopefully.
Like a scrub.
I would hope so.
Anyway.
Live that dream.
So, shall we dive right into the news, I guess?
Sure. There is some news.
There is a little bit. Yeah, we're going to start off with the obvious follow-up from last week. We know who the top 32 players are. Well, the 32 players in the Magic Pro League will be, as you can see here on this very schmancy roster page.
Look at those dynamic pictures.
Dude, I think these are in order. They are. Huh. So, we have in, I think, rank order, Luis Salvato, Seth Manfield, Reed Duke, Marcio Carvalho, Owen Turtenwald, Ben Stark, Javier Dominguez, John Rolfe, Martin Juza, Gregor Kowalski, Ken Yukihiro, Andrea Minguchi, Mike Sigrist, Brian Bronduin, Jerry Thompson, Brad Nelson, Shahar Shenhar, Matt Nass, Jean-Emmanuel Duprez, Peter Glogowski, Yuya Watanabe, Andrew Cuneo, Eric Froley, Christian Hawk, Carlos Romão, Shota Yasuoka, William Jensen, Paulo Vitor Dama de Rosa, Lucas Esper Bertoud, I don't know how to say his name, Alexander Hain, Ray Sato, and Li Shi Chen.
Or you could get your degree.
Yeah, you can major in mana-based
business management or accounting.
Oh, see, I was going to try to make that into a magic joke, but...
Oh. Well then.
But no. So yeah, this is your Magic Pro League for 2019.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty stacked list.
Understandably.
Because they took... So originally, when we first saw this list, we were like, oh, they just lifted the top 32 players and said, blam, there you go. But
yeah.
According to this, on Twitter, just under
Very
2 hours ago...
Yeah.
It says, how did you choose the players for the 2019 Magic Pro League? It said, invitations were sent to the top 32 players, and 2 players declined. So Ray Sato and Li Shi Chen were the next 2 on the list, 33rd, and the next highest ranked APAC player. So just out of curiosity, we looked at the last available top 25 rankings, which was, it was from, what, September 20th
September.
Or 30th? Yeah, it's the end of September.
A bit ago.
But we found 2 names that weren't on the list of the roster. So who were those?
Andrea Minguchi?
No.
Did I copy wrong? I copied wrong.
It was Kelvin Chu was one of them.
Kelvin Chu, yes. I copied wrong. You're right, because Minguchi's on copy-paste error.
Who's the other one?
Was it Andrew Backstrom?
That's the one, yeah.
That one I copied correctly. Okay.
Yeah, Andrew Backstrom. So there you go. It as far as we can tell, they were the 2 who declined, but that's outdated.
Like, yeah.
So that was from September, and a lot of stuff happened since then, so maybe not. We don't know. Do we know?
We don't know. We did what we could.
Yeah.
We don't know who, we don't know why. That's the closest evidence we have found in the 2 hours since that tweet came out.
Yeah. And also,
but we did look.
They answered another question. How can I qualify for the 2020 Magic Pro League? Well, qualification for the Pro League will be based on performance in the Mythic Championship events over the next year. Which, remember, Mythic Championship events are the Pro Tours. But there are also Arena Mythic Championships that we don't know much about yet.
Right.
But yeah, they will provide more specific information on how Mythic Championship performance will impact qualification early next year. More info to come. And then, will Grand Prix contribute to qualification for the Pro League? And no, it'll offer a path to the tabletop Mythic Championship events, just like before. Grand Prix can get you an invite to the Pro Tour. Remember, we have to use the new terms now so we don't get more confused. So the Grand Prix can get you into the tabletop Mythic Championships, but not directly into the Pro League. Got it? Okay.
Keeping in mind the Pro League is set right now at 32 people.
Correct. So,
yeah. There's a bit of a progress thing.
Yeah. So there you go. That's the new information that has come up in the last 2 hours.
Breaking news?
Question mark? So all right then. But there you go. That's who will be. They're going to have profiles going up over the next few weeks.
Yep.
And it looks like this isn't a profile.
Wow, so they give all of them those non-script gray shirts.
Huh, neat. So yeah, we've got the... So by profile, what it means is a paragraph and then some accomplishments and where they're from and a quote and a picture. So this is actually quite clever. You should put these on playing cards and... Oh, wait.
I mean, there might be three people listening who remember those.
Not a lot of people remember those. They just... Nobody liked them.
Fair enough. We used those as tokens until they gave us token.
It's true, yeah. I used to have a... Oh no, I've forgotten his name, but it was the one where the dude's picture was with it like that.
There are probably a few of those.
No, it was just the one.
Hmm.
I don't remember who that was.
Those were a thing before I paid any attention at all to Pro Magic, so I didn't know who any of them were.
Yeah.
I'm sure if I went back now, I would know who they are, but I didn't at the time.
So yeah, there you go. Like I said, they're going to have the profiles for all of them up over the next however many weeks. They're also doing a little write-up type thing on the main page. Let's see, Daily MTG. Right here, where we get a few paragraphs and a Twitch clip of something they did that was awesome. And a picture. And then a few paragraphs, Twitch clip, picture. You see.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Elevating the pros.
Yeah, imagine that. So yeah, like I said, it's a stacked, it's a good group, it's a good roster, it's all of the top players, which is what they wanted for the words and talking, the first year of the MPL, so sick. All right then.
Yep.
So that is, anything else about the Magic Pro League?
Not for the league, but we did get some information on the first Mythic Championship event.
Oh yeah, here we go.
So,
bam.
Seeing as that kind of ties into this, given we just talked about how this is the path there.
So yeah, the first tabletop Mythic Championship in Cleveland. 16 rounds of Swiss for what? Oh, three rounds. Okay, it's 16 rounds of Swiss in general. And then three rounds will be Ravnica Allegiance Booster Draft, and then five rounds of Standard. And then the top eight will be Standard.
Yeah. So.
Wait, that doesn't add up. Oh, that's each day. Okay, each day they do a draft and then five rounds of Standard. All right. I'm like, that's only eight.
Yeah.
Math is hard.
It can be. But yeah, so like this is mostly noteworthy because they've been all hush-hush about all of these things for a bit. So now we've got more context information.
Yeah, it's still a Pro Tour. Like. Draft followed by Constructed. That sounds like, let me think, what did we have of those that was all the time? Oh, Pro Tours!
Yeah.
So there you go. That's that.
Or the tabletop one.
Right. Again, we don't know anything about the Arena Mythic Championships yet, other than they're going to be a thing, they said.
Yeah.
Right? We don't know anything about that yet, right?
No, like, I'm really hoping it turns out to be some kind of weird Tron rules where they actually digitize the players, but until they tell me otherwise, that's all I have to work with.
Yeah. All right. And remember, so I'm seeing stuff in the chat. Remember, the Mythic Championships are the Pro Tours. So I am the dork is like, I wonder how I'm going to be able to play in a modern Mythic event. You're not, because it's a Pro Tour. Grand Prix are still Grand Prix, but Pro Tours are now Mythic Championships, right? It's going to take a while for all this to sink in for everybody, I know, because I keep finding myself going, well, that doesn't make it... Oh, this is Pro Tour now. Okay, right.
Yeah. So, like, presumably, if they do them for the modern format, that means you'll have to qualify via the other processes.
Whatever those are.
Have a line like that.
Yeah. Which I'm pretty sure most of those are probably going to stay the same. You know, Spike a GP.
Presumably.
Whatever else.
It'll be interesting to see how this meshes against the digital stuff, since... there isn't likely going to be modern in Arena. So
right.
That may mean that there's more modern in paper to keep up the numbers. It may just be less overall. We don't know. No information.
Yeah.
Talk to you next year.
Yeah. Okay. So, we should knock out the World Magic Cup first. Okay, so hey, the World Magic Cup happened this weekend.
Dun, dun, dun.
There were, what, 74 countries? 72?
74 countries showed up. 74
countries showed up.
So, it fired, is what we're saying.
It did, yeah. Barely.
We got enough people. It worked out.
So here's your top eight. I assume these are in order, right? France won. Yeah, France did win. Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, France won with Timothy Jameau, Arnaud Hochmiller, and Jean-Emmanuel Depres. Oh, hey.
They're playing Unified Standard, by the way.
Yeah, they're playing Team Unified Standard, which means their formats, it's a format that literally doesn't matter, so we're not going to go into any of that. Second place was Team Israel with Yuval Zuckerman, Amit Etgar, and Shahar Shenhar. Boom, second place. Go get him, Israel. Check that out, though. Israel made the second place. That's sick. Third place, Hong Kong, with Alexander Dodiko, one of those, Wu Kan Fai, and Li Shichen. You'll notice the top three teams thus far have all had an MPL member in them. Hmm. It's like they're good at magic or something.
Weird.
Fourth place was Italy, with Tian Famun, Mattia Basilico, and Andrea Mingucci. That's the top four that now have an MPL member in them. Damn, that's eerie.
Seems likely.
Japan was in fifth place with Naoya Nanba. Is that right?
Nanba.
I meant the first name.
Naoya.
Yeah, okay. Ken Yukihiro and Moriyama Masahide.
Masahide.
Yeah. Excuse me, that's an E. Wait, was... Oh no, I closed the... Hang on. Magic Pro League was...
Did you die?
No, I was checking
to see if they have a person.
I was checking to see if any of these guys were in the Magic Pro League. Yes, Ken Yukihiro. I'll be damned. Okay. Huh. That's top five. Let's keep going. Boom. Sixth place, China, with Song Long, Zhu Ming, and Liu Yuchen. Okay. Here we have an anomaly. This is a top finishing team at the World Magic Cup that did not have an MPL member in it. That means these guys are damn good.
No ringers.
Yeah, exactly. These guys get in on, you know, talent.
On gumption.
As opposed to the talent that the other guys... Shut up. All right. seventh place, Australia, with Matthew Garnham, Benaya Lai, or Lee, I don't know, and David Mines. Not another not MPL, but you know these guys are tough because they live in Australia, and they survived to get to the World Magic Cup, so.
What you didn't know is that they actually fought the whole way there on land, even the wet part.
Especially the wet part. And then rounding out of the top eight was Slovakia, with Richard Hornansky, Milan Niznansky, and Ivan Flock. So, sick. There you go. There is your World Magic Cup top eight.
Yeah.
This was our last World Magic Cup until they uncancel it in a few years. Yeah. So,
it's not the first time we've had the last World Magic Cup, so we'll see.
Is it?
It feels like this has happened before. I could be mixing it up with Worlds or something else that uses these words.
Yeah, I don't think they've ever canceled the World Magic Cup since they started it. I think...
I'm thinking of Nationals. Duh.
That is different, although...
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of, yeah.
Okay.
That said, I do appreciate the photos on the top stories page. If you would like to share those with the world.
Hang on. Squeeze springing stuff on me. Okay.
Yeah. Throwing you off.
All right. Team South Africa is very stylish. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it just keeps happening.
Team Mexico is stylish.
Mm-hmm.
Team Scotland is not even playing. Oh my god. And Team Guatemala. All right. That's pretty great.
That was mostly what I wanted you to see.
By the way, everyone, for those of you listening, you just got to go look. Just go to the World Magic Cup coverage. Link's in the show notes. Click on top stories. You will not be disappointed. What else we got going on over here? Okay, it's just stuff about some of the top eight. Got it. Baller status. Okay. Man, I have a lot of crap
open. Goodbye, World Magic Cup.
Do what?
Goodbye, World Magic Cup.
Bye. I won't honestly miss you, but there's that many less names I have to read off once a year.
There you go.
But, you know, for the people who get into it, they're really going to miss it, and I feel for them. But I'm guessing not enough people got into it?
Well, for the people who were there, they probably didn't realize when they were originally planning going there that it was the last one. Got to be a bit of a curveball.
I feel bad for the people who, like, just missed it, and they're like, all right, next year.
Yeah.
Next year I'm going to get in, and no, you're not. Oh.
Showed you. Yeah. That's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
But, you know, at least there's still Magic to play next year.
That's true. You want to talk about Magic for next year?
Do what?
You want to talk about Magic for next year?
Do we?
I mean, got some Ravnica.
Oh, I was going to say that some of the other, like, esports leagues there will just don't have that. But we found out just a few days ago that the Heroes of the Storm Global Championship Series is no more. Just gone. So while the World Magic Cup disappearing sucks, at least there's still, you know, Pro Magic to play and Magic supported by the creators. Just saying.
Yeah.
All right. So what else do we have? Oh yeah, Ravnica Allegiance. All right. Let's take a look at this. All right. I've got to get that leaf. The leaf call keeps popping up over you. Hang on. Let me move this here.
Is it every upkeep?
Move this here. There. No, it's when I mouse over you. And I mouse over you when I move from this screen to that screen. But now I've switched everything to where I can't mouse over you anymore. You are blocked by a wall of windows.
I mean, sure.
I don't know how that works.
Would stop me.
There were no regular tournaments this weekend that I know of. Star City is done until next year.
Yep.
And they wouldn't have a GP the same week.
There were no other events from WotC this weekend.
Yeah, they wouldn't have a GP the same weekend as the World Magic Cup, because that would be lame.
It'd be counterproductive for everyone involved.
Yeah. So that's it for tournaments. Tournament. Singular.
The world.
The world! All right, so let's go to... Boom, there we go. So yes, today they started the slow trickle of Ravnica Allegiance mechanics. First up, we have Spectacle, which is the new Rakdos mechanic.
Yeah.
So here, this first card is the Eriksmadi Reveler. For one and a red, it's a 2/2 human shaman. A 2/2 for two. Huh, imagine that. When it enters the battlefield, discard a card, then draw a card. Makes sense, right?
Rummage.
But it's got Spectacle for two, a black and a red. And you may cast the spell for its spectacle cost, rather than its mana cost, if an opponent lost life this turn. So, it's either a 2/2 for two that draws a card and discards a card, or it's a 2/2 for four that, if its spectacle cost was paid, instead discards your hand and draw three cards.
A little bit better. Or worse, depending.
Yeah.
But you get to choose.
Exactly. Yeah, it's not like if your opponent was dealt damage, you have to use its spectacle cost.
Yeah. It's another option. Like, welcome to kicker variant number 807. Though in the case of this one, it's sometimes going to be a discount as well. Because nothing says spectacle has to cost more than the base call.
True.
So,
although we only have, to my knowledge, these two examples where it's more expensive.
Well, yeah, like they noted in the text supporting it that on some, the alternate cost is a discount as a reward for hurting your opponent. On others, like these two, it's higher, but there's an additional bonus to paying that cost. So.
Oh, even if you pay a spectacle cost, the mana cost and converted mana cost of the spell don't change. That's good to know.
Yeah, so Rick's Mighty Reveler will always be converted mana cost too.
Trippy. All right, hey, Bill, tell us about the demon while I take a drink.
About the demon? All right, so yeah, this is Rafter Demon.
He's a demon in the rafters.
Yeah, it's Ultros. But yeah. There you go. Laugh it out, buddy. You see, you have to wait for him to start drinking things and then say stuff. That's how that works.
I hate you so much.
There you go. But yeah, so Rafter Demon Ultros. For 2, a black and a red. It's a creature demon. 4/2. Spectacles, 3, a black and a red. Common. So you'll get plenty of these. When Rafter Demon enters battlefield, if its spectacle cost was paid, each opponent discards a card. So essentially, you can pay your 4 and get your 4/2, and whoop-de-doo, you've got a common. Or you can pay essentially 1 extra on it, but really you're paying this alternate cost, and your opponent has to discard a card. Multiple opponents discard cards each, fun for 2 out of giant. But yeah, there you go. It's a common.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. And just 2 examples of ways you can make Spectacle work. I like it.
Yeah.
So then we have these. Coming soon.
Oh, dude. We should talk about those next year.
Yeah, yeah. Because remember, this is the last Monday Night Magic of the year, because next Monday is, well, Christmas Eve. And
yeah.
No. And then the weekend after that is, well, the Monday after that is New Year's Eve. So, no.
Yeah, it's that special day where the entire world counts down to my birthday.
It's true, yeah.
So we have to honor my birthday.
He's not wrong.
But yeah, I'm sure we do too.
Damn, that's eerie.
Yeah. I'm sure we will talk about the other ones. I also know that the mechanics are known to the internet, but they're not here, so we're not talking about them.
But so. We do have promos.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord, promos. Okay, so the BioBox promo. I've never seen this before. I didn't look, but yeah. So I'm just going to read this blind. The Haunt of Hightower. Already, I really like the name and the reference to Police Academy.
I respect that.
Yeah, yeah. So, the Haunt of Hightower. God, that's fun to say. The Haunt of Hightower. Huh. Okay. For 4 black is a legendary vampire, mythic technically, sure, and is a 3/3. Okay. Got it. Flying in Lifelink for 6 mana. Not great. Whenever the Haunt of Hightower attacks, defending player discards a card. Okay, that's getting better.
Yep, triggers on attacking, not...
Not damage. Yeah.
Not damage. So this will happen before you move on to next steps.
Yeah. And then whenever a card is put into an opponent's graveyard from anywhere, put a +1/+1 counter on the Haunt of Hightower. Oh. Oh, God, what was the black-green card? Vulturous Zombie. Didn't it say a card put into an opponent's graveyard from anywhere?
Possibly. I don't remember. I just know that when I see cards like this, I'm like, you're in that pile of cards that would be fun in like an EDH deck, presuming it lives for even a little while. And hopefully when it dies, it will die gloriously.
Vulturous Zombie. Whenever a card is put into an opponent's graveyard from anywhere. Yeah, okay. So it's a Vulturous Zombie with upside.
Yeah, it's a Vulturous Nighthawk.
Damn.
Well, it doesn't have Death Touch, so never mind. But it's still got a lot of other things going for it.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. It's neat.
Huh. Okay, and then we've got some... So this is a... this is on par with Firesong and Sunspeaker, right? Like, this is a card serious tournament players care nothing about, but, like, Commander and casual players are gonna... I'm excited for this, and I'm not gonna buy a box of Ravnica Allegiance, but I want one, because that's sick.
Yeah, so... like, this is way more in line with what I would expect those cards to be.
Yeah.
Like, I know it didn't break out and destroy the world, but my reservations about the Take Extra Turns one, I feel, were way more warranted than I reserved about this one.
Yeah, like, this is not... And that Turbo Fog deck was big for what? Like, a week? 2 weeks?
Something like that, yeah.
And then it sort of...
And then, per the nature of that kind of deck, it...
Yeah.
Peters out when people learn how to sideboard against it. But...
So yeah,
for this one, it's a cool, beefy, expensive creature that probably won't see standard play, but looks like a lot of fun.
And remember,
someday, this is the kind of card you could probably throw into a pre-constructed deck or something if they ever wanted to print it again.
Oh, that would be cool, yeah.
It doesn't have any set specific mechanics to it, so you could just throw that in a commander box.
That is true. And remember, this is a... the Buy a Box promo is exclusive. This is the only way to get it is the Buy a Box promo or to buy a Buy a Box promo afterwards.
Yeah.
But also remember, at least in the case of the extra turns card whose name I can't remember, they said that the total supply of that Buy a Box card was more plentiful than any single mythic from Guilds of Ravnica. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Shouldn't be too hard to find or too expensive if you can't afford to buy a box, like me.
Yeah, when it comes to like Haunt of Hightower, don't be surprised if you open a tournament staple and a more competitive player is willing to trade you their Haunt of Hightower for your tournament staple, and that might be a good deal for you. I mean, keep an eye on the value of everything, but these are the kind of things that those people who are most likely to be buying a lot of boxes are not going to necessarily want to sit on. So this also may circulate a lot better.
Yeah. You know, assuming you're buying your box and opening your box at the card shop right then.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Now we have event promos.
Yay.
Okay, what is this? Open house promo is the Rakdos Firewheeler. Have you looked at this?
I haven't looked at any of them on purpose.
Oh, okay, well, I haven't looked at
it. I figured they're fun to react to.
I'll read this one because it's me, and you read the next one.
Okay.
So for black, black, red, red is a 4/3 human rogue. It's uncommon. That's a human?
In there somewhere, yeah. It's like a jester hat.
Ah, okay. When Rakdos Firewheeler enters the battlefield, it deals 2 damage to target opponent and 2 damage to up to 1 target creature or planeswalker. Ooh. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's not going to set the world on fire, but it'll set one
person. It's going to
try. Yeah, it'll set one person on fire.
And one of their friends.
I guess for black, black, red, red, it's supposed to be hard to catch.
Like, that's an aggressive cost.
Yeah, well.
I mean, it doesn't mean that you won't be able to do it in Ravnica mana, but that's an aggressive cost. For something that is essentially a 4/3 after it pops out.
So. I don't think aggressive is the word you mean.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Like, aggressive is in difficult to deal with, not
okay.
Like, actual, like, really aggro. Yeah, words mean different things in Magic. You're
they
right.
They do, yeah.
Yeah.
It's aggressively costed from a design standpoint.
Yes.
Like,
the other meaning of that word, like the one that most people think of. This is not a casual thing. Like, keep in mind that this is what you would pay for Rakdos. Kinds of things, like, you know.
Oh,
really,
yeah, that's
hard.
True, yeah.
So,
but he was mythic too, so, you know.
Yeah, and this is an uncommon that does some stuff, and realistically, with the right base, you can cast it on time. Whether your opponent's gonna have a planeswalker out is kind of moot. You're probably gonna use it to kill their 3-drop with 2 toughness before or after combat.
Makes sense.
Could be fun.
Yeah, and as Pinball always pointed out, this is part of the cycle from that was started in Guilds of Ravnica,
yeah.
Of the uncommon with the 2 of each color in the
yeah.
Guild cost.
Yeah, it's purely a matter of black, black, red, red is harder to do that with than, say, things that have green in them. So this one might be a little more rough.
Excuse me. Rakdos Firewheeler gave me hiccups. All right, what's this next one there, Mr. Squee?
Simic Ascendancy. Green and a blue, rare enchantment. So, oh, yeah, of course there's a lot of text on it. It's green and blue enchantment. All right. So... 1 green and a blue. Put a +1/+1 counter on target creature you control. That sounds right. Whenever 1 or more +1/+1 counters are put on a creature you control, put that many growth counters on Simic Ascendancy. 2 kinds of counters already. At the beginning of your upkeep, if Simic Ascendancy has 20 or more growth counters on it, you win the game. Yeah?
Holy crap.
I mean, that's cool. I think that's actually probably a lot of fun. I see a whole lot of limited games where this doesn't do anything, and a lot of group games where out of nowhere someone does some doubling season nonsense and wins. The ability to just put a counter on a thing at instant speed as a mana sink is pretty good.
It's pretty good, yeah.
Like, I mean, don't discount the parts of it that aren't related to ending the game. Like, I wouldn't run a lot of them, but I like it as an option, and like, sitting across from this in limited, if you get to like a sealed board stall, pretty sweet. Like end of turn, load up some guys. Middle of combat, load up some guys. Like that's a lot of flexibility once you get to later game. And then be really sad when you have it at like 18 and someone disenchants it. But that's how life works.
By the way, sorry, listeners, that you had to listen to my jaw pop. I forgot to re-hit mute after I choked.
Mm. Okay.
I was eating an oatmeal cream pie to try to kill those hiccups.
I mean, that's also just what you do on stream. They should be used to this.
That's true, yeah. All right, so then so that was the draft weekend promo. And the Magic League gets you the Gate Colossus. It's an 8-mana 8/8 artifact creature construct. It's uncommon. Costs one less to cast for each gate you control. Sick!
Mike's deck.
Gate Colossus can't be blocked by creatures with power 2 or less. Okay, no jump blocking because he steps on them. Got it.
Yeah.
Whenever a gate enters the battlefield under your control, you may put Gate Colossus from your graveyard on top of your library. Oh!
That is a Mike deck.
That is a Mike deck.
Like, in one uncommon.
Huh. Okay, then. That's pretty
for
cool.
For all of it stepping around your small guys, it doesn't have trample, so they're going to have to throw some really meaty stuff in front of it.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. So, like, realistically, if you're running a heavy gate deck, you're getting this out on, like, 4 or 5 and hoping it doesn't get destroyed. Like, that's pretty cool for an uncommon.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Like, it's not, like, some indestructible rare or anything, but it's an uncommon. So, that looks fun. And, right. Of course, you don't need to run a full gate deck to take advantage of that. If you bring that down to, like, a 5 or 6, that's probably fine.
Probably. All right.
I also appreciate how the art has this... It kind of reminds me of a bunch of areas in the more recent Final Fantasy games where you're walking around and you can see the pre-rendered cool thing in the background as your foreground is, like, the people that are actually walking in real. And it sort of works in its favor here. So, it's pretty cool.
In that game, does something huge walk past in between the pre-rendered backdrop and the real-time foreground?
Yeah, probably.
Oh, like, I never played the new Final Fantasy, so...
Oh, well, like, I'm thinking of around... I guess they've even been doing this as far back as Final Fantasy VII, really, but where, like, you have the game rendering what you, the character, are doing in the foreground, but really just overlapping in a full motion video sequence.
Right.
And so the background looks way cooler than your dinky polygon face in the front. But with the more recent games, they've done a better job of mixing that media, but it still looks cooler in the background, and that's sort of what I see going on here. It's just so much bigger to still be in focus like that. But it works for it. It's neat.
World Forger Dragon in the chat just pointed out it's a Hearthstone giant for gates. Holy crap, it is. It's an 8/8 that has a thing that makes it cost less. Dude, that's sick!
I will take your word for it.
So there are a series of giants in Hearthstone that all are 8/8s, and they cost... They have some way of reducing their cost. Like, one costs one less for each creature on the battlefield. One costs one less for each damage you take in this game. Stuff like that.
Okay. So they're kind of like a variable affinity thing.
Yeah. Like cards in your hand, cards in opponent's hand, number of overloaded mana crystals this game, spells you've cast, stuff like that.
Stuff that's a lot nicer in digital games to keep track of it for you.
Exactly, yeah. Whereas this, number of gates you control, boom, simple.
Yeah, you look down, count them.
I like it. All right, so then we have F&M events with the sick... I just love these F&M promo... frames.
These frames are nice.
All right. So, hey, look, Mortify's back. Sick. Yeah, I said it. Light up the stage, 2 and a red for an uncommon sorcery with spectacle, a single red. There's the discount. Exile the top 2 cards of your library until the end of your next turn. You may play those cards. Oh, okay. It's that temporary red card draw thing.
Yeah.
Wow. That's really good for the spectacle cost. Like, that's all right for its mana cost, but that's really good for its spectacle cost.
Like, I don't understand. Maybe I'm not understanding why the spectacle cost is there separate from the bigger one. Is it just to give it a higher converted mana cost?
What's to reward you for dealing damage to your opponent?
Oh, right, because you have to work for it. Yeah, duh. Okay, brain catching up. Fun times.
Also, hopefully, stream, you guys didn't lose too much of that. I just got a massive frame drop. All of a sudden, my connection just went all to hell. So sorry about that, if that happened. If you couldn't tell, hey, that's even better. All right, and then Growth Spiral for a green and a blue instant common. Draw a card. You may put a land card from your hand onto the battlefield. Oh.
That's
pretty good. For a common.
Yeah. I mean, that seems appropriate for a green-blue effect.
How is that not a card already?
Feels like it would be.
I don't think it is, though.
Huh. Maybe historically it would be a sorcery.
Maybe. It's Explore? Oh, it is. Except Explore said you may play an additional land this turn. But this is functionally slightly different.
Yeah.
Huh, neat. Oh, and it's an instant. Duh. Okay.
Doesn't Explore make you...
No, it's just draw a card and you may play an additional one, isn't it?
Yeah, I just pulled it up just to make sure. You may play an additional land this turn, draw a card.
Yeah. But adding a blue makes it an instant.
Yeah.
Oh, you know why it's worded this way? Because they don't want you playing lands during your opponent's turn. So it has to say, put a land card from your hand onto the battlefield. That's why.
Yeah, makes sense.
Templating is a thing for a reason. Okay. And then we have more of these super sick Ravnica Weekend basic lands that we had in guilds.
Yeah.
Yeah, here are the Azorius ones. And Orzhov. And Rakdos. And Gruul. And Simic.
I'm digging how the Gruul ones make the fire look more on fire and make the tree look more on fire.
Yes. I'm also digging how the Rakdos ones look like you're trying to summon something.
Yeah. It's like the design of the guild symbols is pretty sweet with these.
Yeah, it is.
I appreciate all of that.
And the swoosh of the Simic symbol around the mana symbol. Yeah, these are just good. I like these. Sick.
Well done.
And yeah, the art on all of these, of course, is insane.
I like how when you squeeze it small, the Azorius symbol just looks like a Triforce.
Well, yeah. Triforce of Law and Order.
Dum.
All right, and then finally we have this card that is already setting Magic players on fire. Literally, not figuratively. There are people that this card has set on fire. Okay, maybe
do
not literally.
Taunt Lavinia.
What's Lavinia do, Squee?
Lavinia, Azorius Renegade. As opposed to Paragon, is a
white-blue
legendary human soldier at rare. 2/2. It's a bear. All right, we're done. Have fun, everybody. Each opponent can't cast non-creature spells with converted mana cost greater than the number of lands that player controls. Whenever an opponent casts a spell, if no mana was spent to cast it, counter that spell. That feels kind of legacy to me.
Yeah. People are already complaining that this is going to do horrible things in Legacy and Vintage. Let's see. What are some things that you cast that cost no mana? Let's see. There's, Force of Will. There are the Moxen. Those don't cost any mana. Lion's Eye Diamond doesn't cost any mana. And that's the easy one.
Yeah.
Like, that's without thinking real hard. And, yeah, like Worldforger Dragon just said, it's a legendary hate bear in hate bear colors. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that first clause is pretty big, too. They can't cast non-creature spells with converted mana cost greater than the number of lands they control. That means even if it didn't have that second clause about casting no mana, or costing no mana, most decks that want to couldn't cast a Force of Will even if they hard cast it. Well, if they could hard cast, even if they wanted to, because they don't have five lands. Come on, be real.
Yeah, if you're relying on gimmicks to get things out for free that still involve casting it, then this is bad for you. If you're relying on ramping with a bunch of artifacts and, you know, this turn spells and stuff, that's pretty rough. Yeah, this makes Tron very sad.
Yeah, Tron is definitely sad.
Yeah, there's a lot going on there.
But we can make the mana! And Lavinia goes, I don't give a damn. But we have all this mana!
You think Lavinia's peeking through the blinds because there's a bunch of angry Legacy players outside?
That is exactly what's going on, yeah.
That sounds accurate. She looks cool, though.
Yeah. So yeah, this... I can see this seeing play in Modern and Legacy.
Yeah.
And Vintage.
This feels like one of those cards that, aside from like the hate bears or whatever decks that pop up, because keep in mind that it's one-sided, so there's not a lot of drawback to putting it in your deck if you've got the space or you can make the space for it.
Yeah.
But also, this is probably going to live in sideboards forever.
Forever and ever. As long
as they fit. Like, she's a human. Human decks can work with that. Normal decks can work with that. White-blue decks do this kind of thing all the time. And also, the fact that, again, it's one-sided means that if you land yours first, they're going to have a harder time on their side. Because you will have more lands than them, or the same number of lands for them most of the time.
Yeah, and I saw a discussion, I think it was in our Discord server earlier, that said, well, then you play this to draw out the Force of Will, because they have to counter it. And the response was, no, you don't play this. You use Aether Vault to just barf it out onto the battlefield. And I was like, oh, God!
I mean, yeah, the Bears. You're playing a Bears deck.
So that's just harsh. So, yeah, look out for Lavinia Azorius Renegade. I love the name, too.
Yeah, this is just cool.
Because remember, Lavinia was the person, I forget what they were called, but in, damn it, Gatherer. I didn't want to open here, I meant to middle click. There we go. Hang on. Lavinia of the 10th. Yeah, she was from Dragon's Maze. She was the Azorius Maze Runner, right? As chat just told me, yeah. So yeah, she's that's like, trademark.
No.
Yeah, when you said Lavinia Azorius Renegade as opposed to Paragon, like, I know you were making a...
I was making a Mass Effect joke. There's also the tie back to what she was before.
Yeah, but it's also very accurate for her character, yeah. So yeah, that's pretty great.
Whoops. Yeah, that card will be relevant, and you know she's important because you can scroll down and look at the box.
Oh, hey, look at that. Wow.
Got one of the judge owls on her shoulder.
Yes, you do. And she's got her old outfit on. She looks more demure in this artwork up here.
Well, it's because they made her armor green instead of silver.
Yeah.
That's how she goes undercover. She paints her armor.
This lends some credence to the idea that Azorius has fallen under Nicol Bolas and Lavinia is against that.
Is on the run because perhaps more Paragon after all.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, I like it. So then we've got our clearly...
She's the runaway good cop.
Yeah, she is... Okay, let's see. Who's the runaway good cop who is framed for some... Or is on the run because her bosses are all evil? Is she Robocop? Whoa!
I don't think she's Robocop.
Okay, so who is Murphy's partner? It's been so long since I saw Robocop. I can't remember her name.
I should remember that. Instead, I'm remembering Chipmunks Go to the Movies. This is
RoboCop's
not good.
RoboCop's partner. Anne Lewis. I knew it was Anne, but it's, yeah. So she's Lewis.
Yeah. Lewis. I remember Lewis more than I remember it because he always called her Lewis.
Yeah, but for some reason I remembered Anne, and I don't know why I remembered that. But yeah, here we go. So we've got who we think is probably Lavinia's normal art, possibly, or it might just be really sick, like random Azorius character art. We don't know. We've got clearly... Oh, crap. Her name just fell off. What's her name, Bill?
Don't you dare ask me these questions.
Damn it. The Kaya. Ha-ha! The ghost assassin.
Right.
Not cool. Not the assassin who is a ghost.
This is my punishment for not playing the things that she was in.
Yeah, not the assassin who is a ghost, but the assassin who assassinates ghosts.
She from, wrote Conspiracy.
Yeah, from Conspiracy. Then we've got this evil clown thing from Rakdos. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That guy from the art before.
Yeah. We've got Domrirod here from Gruul and whoever that is from...
Slesnia.
Yeah, except it's supposed to be Simic.
Simic, sorry. Yeah, duh.
Slesnia. That really looks like Slesnia.
That looks way more...
Oh, but no, she's holding a science thing. So that's clearly Simic. Okay.
It's a science thing. It's a trident. No, the other thing.
Yeah,
it's
the other thing.
Energy pack from Mega Man.
Is that a thing from Kaladesh? What? Okay.
I mean, she's probably been there.
And then, yeah, on the Planeswalker decks here, we've got Dovin and Domri, so there you go. And then Kaya is prominently featured on the Fat Pack. What is this? Bundle. Used to be called Fat Packs. And then the Deck Builder's Toolkit has the weird Demon Clown thing. That's gotta be a... It's all over the art, so it's gotta be a legendary creature from the new set, right?
I would presume.
Probably.
Maybe that's the bad cop.
So, yeah, there you go. There's the packaging and the promos. We don't usually do that on this show, but we didn't really have much else to talk about.
So it's what we have.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to release enough news for us to record. We're going to record about it. It's and now true, that we're slightly more visual than we were before, looking over this actually has a little more value.
It's true. So for those of you that are listening, as always, just links are in the show notes.
Yeah.
All right. So that's Ravnica stuff. Now remember, for the mechanics here, they're going through them every day. So Tuesday we get to see the, and then Wednesday is the, and Thursday is the, and then on Friday will be the final one, which is,
underwhelming.
So yeah, I'm sure we'll mention these on the mana pool on Thursday up to this one, and then we'll speculate about what the last one is.
Yeah.
So there you go. All right, let's see here. Then we've got, what else is there, Bill?
Some arena news.
Wait, hang on. I have too many things open, I've lost it. Nope, that's... Why do I still have the Magic Pro League roster up? Go away.
I have no idea. Mistakes were made.
I still have Ann Lewis open. Okay, here we go. No, that's just... hang on, this is Monday Night Magic. There we go. All right, so... apparently, there was some stuff going on in Magic Arena. They made some announcements, and everybody lost their minds, so they immediately rolled it back.
Yes.
So... So they proposed changes to the constructed and competitive constructed events. And I think the changes involved getting more gold and not free cards, like singles. I think, but it doesn't matter because they're rolling it back. So rewards will stay the same. Let's see. We still intend to make changes to these two events at a later date to address concerns over the amount of new players entering them with the tutorial decks. What? I don't understand what the, like, do they not want people to enter with the tutorial deck? Is that what we're going? I don't know. I don't know what, I can't divine intent from this.
It's not a descriptive thing.
No. So, yeah, there you go. The arena team is already bowing down to nerd pressure. But again, I don't play Arena, so I don't know if it was a good call or a bad call or what. I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah. Everyone seems to be in favor of this rollback from the comments that weren't just asking for other things while they were asking for things. So seems to be universally viewed as a better thing.
And Jim Davis replied, just want to reiterate that this level of communication is phenomenal. No, what you mean is the fact that you gave me what I wanted is phenomenal. There is no level of communication here.
I mean, when you have a community that is very vocal when they don't like things and then they get a very quick turnaround, it feels pretty good, but that's not communication. That's changing course in response to overwhelming negative feedback.
Yeah.
Which WotC has certainly done before, albeit not usually this fast.
Oh, wait a minute. Stark said, if you enter with a tutorial deck and other people are playing real decks, you basically just lost your money. Well, yeah, but...
I mean, that's how all Magic tournaments work.
Yeah, don't... I guess, okay, so from my limited experience with Magic Arena, they're not terribly descriptive on what you're actually entering.
Mm.
So maybe they should put a, hey, you should probably not enter with your stupid tutorial deck note on there. But I don't know, whatever.
I mean, like, you could technically play your pre-con, assuming it's the right one, and an FNM, you just aren't very likely to win. But, yeah. But anyway... So...
Yeah,
there you go. The takeaway is that people complained about this one, and they very quickly rolled it back and made a note that they're still planning on making changes, but they're going to ease back a little bit, figure that out.
So, yeah, there you go. All right, so next up, we have some Magic Story stuff.
Story.
So, for those of you that already know this, which is everyone, really, boom. Brandon Dude. Sanderson has written it's a novella. Okay, there you go. I was like, yeah. What's the word for this? Because it's not a short story, but
it's not a free novel. Novella.
Yeah, but it's free. You can download it.
Yeah.
And it's set on Innistrad, and it introduces Davriel, a new planeswalker designed by Brandon Sanderson. So, hey, Bill.
Yeah.
Who is Brandon Sanderson?
Brandon Sanderson is a very successful writer whose biggest claims to fame are probably writing the Mistborn books and finishing Wheel of Time after Robert Jordan died. He's also released so many other books, a number of things going right now. There's Stormlight Archive. There's a bunch of stuff. I have not remotely read all of his things. I've only read a few of them, but he's known in writing for someone as someone who comes up with very internally consistent and almost game-like magic systems and the things that he does write. And that really appeals to people who like to know how a world works. So he's super big on world building. He's super big on telling stories. And he's also a giant magic nerd, which has been widely known since well before this. And so it's not that surprising when Wizards is looking for high profile promotion that they're like, hey, in between the 10 other books you're writing this year, could you write something short for magic? And he's like, I love magic. Sure. And so he did. And in the piece here, they talk about how he wanted to sort of do his own thing. So they're not like throwing the main Gatewatch stories or Bolas or anything like that under him. They're kind of giving him his own little corner of Innistrad to play with, and that's what he's going to do. They're going to make sure that obviously everything he says fits in with the setting and the rules and continuity, but don't be surprised if he does his signature thing, which is look at a system that's in place, come up with the nerdy, but what if you did this thing and it worked really cool? Because that's really what he does. He finds the cool angles and corner cases to find different ways to use the stuff that's there to be fun. And I wouldn't be surprised if he came up with something crazy involving Planeswalker. So this will probably be pretty cool. I have not read this, but if someone records an audio thing of it, I will probably listen to it at some point because I like Innistrad and I like his writing. So we'll see.
There you go. He was also on the weekly MTG stream. I don't know what the hell it might actually be called, the weekly MTG stream. I don't know.
That sounds about online.
But he was on there talking about his love for magic and the book and all that good stuff too. So this is an article, a little Q&A thing about the whole thing. So
I know that when he goes to book signings and bookstores and stuff, a lot of the time he brings magic decks with him. And he'll just play that with people that are there, which is kind of neat. But he's got ridiculous work ethic. Like, you hear about writers who are writing all the time, but he's actually writing 7 days a week. Like, he wrote, like, I was listening to an audiobook adaptation of one of his books that he just wrote on a plane while flying between two events. He just wrote a book, like a short book, but he wrote it and it was pretty good. And that's just what he does. So giving him a giant world that's got a rich history and lots of art to draw from is pretty much exactly the kind of thing that he wants to do. So I wouldn't be surprised if he kept doing more of these in the future too. Just a matter of fitting that in between the millions of other things he has going on.
There's a star. Here it is. So Infinius in the Discord server said, in case people aren't aware, Brandon Sanderson actually loves playing Magic. There's a convention in Perth many years ago, that's in Australia, that he only attended with the condition that there was a Magic tournament held at the convention. And he was happy enough to sign Infinius' time stretch.
Neat.
So that's neat. That's what I was looking for while Bill was talking.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you want to see it, the link we have in the show notes has a link right at the top to the piece that you can download right now as an ebook or a PDF. So.
Oh, hey, look at that. It does. And that, wow.
Yeah. You can look at the cover and see his guy who looks kind of like if Doctor Strange were cosplaying as Tybalt, I guess. I don't know.
Check out the new story archive page. Wow, this is really pretty.
Highly visual.
And it looks almost functional. Let's see what happens when we click on Zendikar.
I half expect the internet to break.
Stories. Oh, hey, look at that! Oh, yeah, this is cool. Alright. I know we throw off on the Wizards of the Coast magic website people a lot because they suck. But this... shut up. This good seems reasoning. Good. Yeah. Oh, we've got Vivian Reed has her own little section here. Corset has its own little section here with stories and characters.
I mean, the characters are the brand now, so
it makes sense. Oh, this is really cool. And then we have Data Bank down here where you can click on read about, okay, is this going to give me like a little overview of Karn? It is! Okay, I've seen these pages before.
Yeah.
And we get one for Worlds too. Okay. Yeah, I really like what they've done with this page. This page is sweet.
Nice.
Yeah, well done.
Oh, and just because it's in super, super tiny text under the download buttons, parents, please note this story contains content that may be unsuitable for younger readers. Because it's on Innistrad. Super tiny disclaimer.
Yeah, we don't know what that means because we haven't read it, but...
I bet someone gets eaten.
Nom nom nom. All right, then. So that's neat.
Yeah.
All right, and there's one more bit here, and I confess I sort of forgot to look at this. Bill, did you look at this?
I did look over it.
Oh, okay, good.
This is the thing that we actually talked about last week on our chat, because they released the State of Magic Online 2018, which opened with this big section that's like, guys, it's not going away. It's cool. Just calm down.
Yeah.
It's okay. Because people understand it. Like, even I'm guilty of this. Like, when I made my Twitter polls a week ago, I'm like, I just kind of assumed that Magic Online would be backseat to everything. Because,
yeah.
I mean, I still think it is.
Yeah.
But it's still not leaving. Yeah, they outlined very quickly in here that MTG Arena is fast and flashy, and the team is knocking it out of the park. But what Arena lacks is what Magic Online does best, which is offer you a way to go through Magic's 25-year history in a vast array of formats and styles, which is accurate.
Yeah, but you remember, they mentioned that, oh God, like a month or two ago at the bottom of a different Magic Online article, and we latched onto it. We're like, this is what they're going to do. And now they're saying it outright. This is what they're going to do.
Yeah, Magic Online is going to be your way of playing the history of Magic and continuing with Magic the way that you've thought of it. Arena is going to be the cool and flashy and much more new player friendly way of doing Magic. And it will probably be the thing that gets way more attention because, as we noted, watching people play Magic as it is, not the best spectator sport.
Yeah. So watching people play Magic Online is miserable. Watching people play paper Magic is not great, but Arena is at least good to watch.
Yeah, this is going to be way more accessible if you know what's going on and are invested enough in the complexities of the game that you enjoy that level. But keep in mind, Magic Online will continue to play its part in qualifying players for the Tabletop Mythic Championships, and they'll have their own Magic Online Championship Series with its own, you know, prize support, which is up to $250,000 in the 2019 season. And yeah, this is just another avenue to do things. Like, this is going to be much more closely tied to paper Magic than Arena, which shouldn't surprise anyone. That's honestly the main thing to talk about here, because most of the rest of this is discussing cool stuff they did this year, as they always do. You know, new things that they've added, new things, and a little bit of a preview of next year. You know, they're going to be, you know, doing new cubes, chaos drafts, stuff like that. That's cool. You know, continue to focus on modern and other non-rotating formats, which is going to kind of be their wheelhouse by comparison to Arena anyway. And they've been making a lot of changes. Like, they've given you the ability to get rid of the chat. They're working on making the lobby better so that it's easier to have, you know, user experiences, you know, playing with your friends, playing other stuff, the rest of what makes the game work, open play, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, other projects on the horizon revolve around updating the server hardware and updating the account creation process, which the fact that they're updating the account creation process is a sign that they're not expecting this to go away. So that's kind of nice.
Yeah, and it says they're exploring whether they can update the system to allow players to create accounts without first paying the $10 thing to get the intro deck or whatever that $10 fee is for.
Yeah.
Which is neat.
Yeah. I mean, like, if I recall way, way back when I did that, like, you spend the $10 to essentially get and install the game and set up the account. And they give you,
like, a free pre-con or something.
They give you a bunch of stuff that's theoretically worth $10 so you don't feel ripped off. But it was kind of a stopgap from people just making a ton of accounts.
Yeah. Like, way back when I started, I think it still cost $10, and you got like a voucher for a free precon, and it was the Saviors of Kamigawa precon, I think, or Betrayers, whichever one had the Umezawa's Jitte in it, because I got that precon,
like the rat one.
Yeah,
yeah.
So
nice.
That was my free precon, and it came with a fork of doom. So That was pretty good.
Arguably one of the best pre-cons ever.
Yeah, right up there.
Nice. But yeah, so essentially the long and short of this thing, you can read all the details if you want. Like, I'm not reading it all to you, but they're still planning on doing stuff. It's still here. It serves different functions from Arena, so you don't have to worry about it. If you're in there, there's still going to be stuff to play. If you're still looking to get the closest to paper possible and digital, it's going to be online. So it's cool. You can stop burning your collections now.
That'll Unless you're trying to sell out so you can focus on Arena.
In which case, that's for it. Yeah. Choice.
Like, but if you're selling out because you're afraid they're about to crash the whole thing, and we've been saying this since the first announcement, just like they have, calm down. It's not going anywhere yet.
Yeah. Should be okay. And in general, when you're doing anything digital like this, don't look at it as an investment. Look at it as, I'm getting a lot of entertainment out of what I'm spending right now. And if it all did go away at some point, so does everything else you own at some point anyway. Like, nothing is actually forever. People for some reason think digital should be. It's fine. If you got fun out of it in the meantime, it's probably pretty cost effective compared to most of the other things that you could be doing. So, I mean, it's still a magic addiction, but.
All right, Sylvia Plath.
Yeah. It'll be okay.
We're all going to die. Everything's dying.
Everything is going to be okay, just for now. Like, tomorrow, three of you will be dead. I won't say who. Hey, have you seen Clues? He's on a boat.
Huh. Or is that just what he wants you to think?
I mean, that's what I want you to think. Do you want me to quickly tack on the other little bit of Magic Online stuff?
Oh, we're talking more Magic Online stuff?
Just a bug blog thing that's funny.
Oh, hey, look at that. I missed that.
So, those are neat. As the usual recap, like, don't take advantage of these. That's cheating. If someone does it to you, report them. Yeah. There's not a lot on here, but some of these... The one that was funny to me is the very first one under gameplay. There's a known issue with Verdant Eidolon creating too much mana. Too much mana.
Well, I guess I have all these manas.
Too much mana.
Aether Tide is unable to be cast. Dang.
I like that one too. That's just direct. I mean, when you look at the various things involving X on that, I'm sure someone like left a quote out or something and broke everything. But
choose and discard X creature cards, return X target creatures to their owner's hands for X and a blue. Huh.
Like, mechanically, that's a mess. It's pretty understandable to a human, but mechanically, that's messy when you're... Like, when you want to cast the spell, you've got to essentially target cards in your hand to discard and target creatures, and doing those at the same time probably sucks. So...
Now I want to know what the prompt box of Nahiri's Wrath displays, because it says it displays incorrect text.
I'm going to assume that when you cast it, you just get, like, the lyrics to a Foreigner song.
Hot-blooded!
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, it's too bad Clues isn't here.
Yeah.
Stark Maximum and the judge just said Aether Tide is just a total loss.
Yeah.
Which is a callback to a thing from, I think, in Odds and Ends that made Clues almost die.
Yeah, he enjoyed it.
All right, so there's really only one thing left for this episode, and it's this. So Ben Blywise from Star City Games posted, "It's come to our attention that some number of the new Star City Games tokens have been showing up in random packages like this person's coffee maker from Target in the Virginia area."
Beautiful.
"We're aware of this issue and can confirm that some amount of the tokens from the newest series accidentally made their way into packages in the Virginia area. And for the record, no, I didn't think I'd ever have to issue a statement about our tokens being shipped with a coffee maker as part of my job." So if you follow the Twitter link here, and this person ordered a coffee maker from Target, and inside the box were two Star City Games Emma Handy tokens.
Yep.
That is a phenomenal screw up.
Yeah.
For cards from Star City Games ended up in a coffee maker from Target. Like, that's... What?
It reminds me of my favorite XKCD comic ever. Which is the one where the man in a hat is putting a bobcat in a box. And someone asked him what he's doing. And he's like, I'm making the world a weirder place, starting with my eBay feedback page. And then it cuts to some guy sitting at a computer whose home is like destroyed and he's all mauled and stuff. And it just comments, instead of office chair, package contained bobcat. Would not buy again. So, yeah.
But seriously, though.
Package contained, Emma Handy.
Yeah, think about. Unexpected. You order a coffee maker from Target, and you open it up, and inside you get tokens with Emma Handy on it. And you go, what? Like, now if you don't know who she is, or what this is, you might go, huh, and throw it away and not think about it. But this person knew who she was.
Yeah.
Which makes it infinitely weirder.
Yeah. Like,
why are you in my Target box?
I think my favorite thing is that the art they have for her is, like, is that like an Aetherling riff?
Yeah, something like that. She's a shapeshifter.
So is she like a Javaling now? Is that how that works? Like, finding a shapeshifter with your coffee in a box you weren't expecting is probably the best way to get those out. But, yeah, like, we know this isn't a viral thing because I don't think Star City Games has the clout to get their stuff put in Target boxes of coffee makers.
So, like, where is the screw up here? It's got to be with, like, the printer.
So, I saw someone... prints
their cards must also print stuff that goes in coffee makers, maybe?
So, I saw someone post their theory, and this one sounded the most likely to me, which would be that the distributor who's handling all the boxing and shipping for a variety of companies, because, like, SCG is not doing this in-house.
Right.
Probably had a whole bunch of these little packs that get thrown in whenever people buy stuff from SCG, because, like, this isn't, like, the product. This is just something they put in the box that goes out with it. And what they think probably happened was at some point a box of these was broken, like forklift accident or something might have hit a few things together. A whole bunch of stuff fell out and someone was like, oh, no, and just started shoving things back in the box. And one or two of these made it in there with the coffee makers and they continued on because that kind of stuff apparently happens all the time. But it's still really funny because I can't think of a reason that this could happen without some kind of packaging error. And since they're from different companies, but within like Target land, it's like that has to have been a case of a bunch of things were bundled together that weren't meant to be. Something got opened and then they just jammed it back in there and continued on in hopes that no one would notice because it's busy holiday season.
But that wouldn't explain how it ended up inside the like the coffee maker box necessarily. Like, 10th Thick Priest said, I presume it was supposed to be a shrink-wrapped coffee coupon or some such. And yeah, that's sort of what I was thinking. Is that, like, it's further back than distribution, like at printer. Something got mixed up somewhere.
Hmm.
I wonder if Star City is going to get a bunch of coffee coupons.
I hope so.
Instead of Emma tokens. We're like, what?
That would be pretty good.
But anyway, so yeah, that was just so insane and bizarre that we had to bring it up because what?
Yeah.
What? Huh?
Yeah, that's great. The whole thing's fun.
So
I like the comment on it where Emma Handy said, what?
Yeah.
I don't even have these yet.
Yeah, she also said, dude, I'm jealous because I didn't even get any of these yet. So that's really funny. So there you go.
This is like the super haste, right? Like,
pretty much,
later
yeah.
on, they're going to have to pay the tokens cost before they lose the game.
See what you did there.
Yeah.
So are we done with the news?
Pact of caffeination.
Can
I think we're done, yeah.
Can I what's an EV now?
Sure.
So normally, Squee does the what's an EV, but I have this blister pack, what's it called? Draft pack of Ultimate Masters that was bought for me by Kim Ho. You know, one of those names I read off every episode?
Yeah.
And he was like, here, here's some money, go buy this and open it on the show. And I went, okay. And I tried to find one on Sunday for last week's show, and it wasn't there. So, damn it. But now I have one. And thank goodness, because last week's show was already long as hell.
Yeah, it was.
So we're going to... It says push to open. So I don't have a knife handy, so I'm going to hope this works.
Smash your face into it.
Oh, there we go. Okay.
I guess I will be the one who calculates how much these things are worth, huh?
Sure.
All right.
So you're going to pull up, like, MTG stocks or something?
Yeah, I'm just going to do that. That seems the one most likely to be current with this.
All right. Wow, this is not easy to get out without potential...
You're not going to hold a flashlight up and see what it is?
Yeah, right. All right, I got two Karns and whatever the hell that is. I think it's Avenge Bond.
I mean, two Karns is a pretty good place to start.
What? No, the packaging.
So yeah, I know. I got
two Karns, and I think that's Avenge Bond.
Okay, so we know this is going to have 15 cards in it, right?
Sure. I mean,
all right.
I don't think any of the commons matter.
Probably not. Got to rock that foil, though.
All right, so here we go, you guys. Oh, God. Okay. So here we go. First card is a homunculus token. Sick!
Oh, dude, I'm not looking that up.
Okay, I'm going to do this. Going to do this on camera here. So we got homunculus token. Boom. Mahamudi's an uncommon. Why is he uncommon in the front? Is that my foil?
I don't know. I can't imagine that's worth that much, but...
That is a foil. So I got a foil Mahamudi Jin.
Foil?
Yeah.
Let's look that up. All right.
Boom, look at that. Wow. Oh, so the rare is in the front. Oh, okay, well, I'll do it this way then.
All right.
Here, let me put the homunculus token there so I don't accidentally look at it. So my foil was a Mahamudi. What's the foil Mahamudi worth?
Check in. The thing has been printed so many times, I actually have to dig it out.
You know, on MTG Stocks, if you just go by set, you can go Ultimate Masters and they're all right there.
Yeah, that's what I ended up doing.
Okay, good.
Then I'm just scrolling instead of typing. All right. Bert?
It's an uncommon.
All right. Well, the normal one is 21 cents.
Nice.
Where's the foil? 34 cents. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's not even double. Okay. So that means this should be a common, right? Yeah.
One with that.
So Martyr of Sands. Boom. Look at that.
Oh, look at that. They're near each other on the list.
All right. And bam. What is
Sparks Martyr of Sands. It's 37 cents. It beat out your foil.
That's sad. So here we go. Okay. We got Spark Spitter. Not worth anything. Acacian Crier, boom. Ha! Shed Weakness. I was like, Shard, what? Shed Weakness. What the hell is this card? Target creature gets +2/+2 until end of turn. You may remove a -1/-1 counter from it. Oh, okay, I remember this now. Yeah, there we go.
That's 15 cents.
What? Don't add up the commons. They don't actually matter.
I know. I just wanted to let you know since you'd asked what it was and I had time.
What is that? Awful Snout. Little pig thing. Whatever.
Yeah.
Boom. Olivia's Dragoon. Okay. Boom. I need to look at these before. Staunch what? Staunch Hearted Warrior. It's heroic. Okay, so it's from Thalnos. I've been playing too much.
Thalnos.
I've been playing too much Hearthstone. What is this? Theros. There we go. Boom. Staunch Hearted Warrior. Okay. We've got Think Twice.
Ooh. Yeah.
That might actually be worth like a few cents too.
14 of them.
Oh wow. Oh, here we go. And Fire and Ice downgraded to common. Ooh.
Have fun with that, Pauper players.
Yeah, right. What's that one going for? Now that it's common.
Now that it is common, Fire and Ice is 15 cents.
Yay, nothing then. Okay. Alright, and then Whirlwind Adept. Ooh.
Also 15 cents, yeah. So a lot of that seems to be the going rate for a lot of these commons.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Now we're on to uncommons. This is where you should start adding. Devoted All Druid. Right.
Devoted Druid. Ooh. 154.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. By the way, what was the MSRP on this? Crap, I don't have... oh, God. What did I do with the receipt? I need that because this is tax deductible.
14 bucks or something, right?
I think it was 40 bucks. I think it was 40 bucks. For three packs, which is glorious. Okay, so, boom. I can't read that. Golgari Thug. Ooh, Dredge card.
Ooh.
Oh, look at him.
I'm being all thug-like. $1.
$1, okay. And then the other one, I can't read that either. Blast of Genius. That's not worth anything.
19 cents.
Sick art, though.
Well, that's okay. Good.
So then we have the homunculus token. And the rare... Why do they put the rare on the front? Is this! I recognize that. It's temporal manipulation.
Oh, hey. Move that time.
Look at that time.
You might like that one.
Oh, yeah?
Temporal manipulation is 2386.
So, okay, so EV is not bad.
I mean, it is a mythic, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So clearly, this is the way of life now. Only open those.
It's totally worth buying.
Are you going to do all three of them? Well, I guess so, since we're not going to be here. So yeah.
Okay, so then we got BAM. I don't know what that is. Turn to mist. Cute. Very cute.
I will wait until the uncommon.
Wait a minute. Aha! That is Ingot Chewer.
Delicious. Yeah.
They are delicious, in fact. Angelic Renewal? Camera? Focus? Never mind. Everyone knows Angelic Renewal.
Yeah.
Mere Servitor. Ooh.
Dahmer.
Bam. Defy Gravity. Yeah. Hey, is Mere Servitor going for anything? It's got combo written on it, so, you know.
14 whole cents.
Okay, no then. Twins of Maurer Estate. I remember them.
Yeah, they're creepy.
That too. Kodama's Reach with the sweet new art.
Ooh. Mike's deck.
And Patchwork Gnomes. Yay, gnomes. All right. So that's a token, foil, rare, 1, 2, 3. I have 2 more commons left. All right. So what is this? Winged Steed Rider. Yep. Pretty Pegasus and stuff. Yeah. And Archaeomancer. Okay. So nothing going on here.
Right.
All right. Uncommons. Bam. Mahamudi Jin. God almighty.
Well, I don't have to look that one up.
Sick. Bam. What does that say? Grave Strength. What the hell is Grave Strength? Choose target creature, put the top 3 cards of your library into your graveyard, then put a +1/+1 counter on that creature for each creature card in your graveyard. Oh, that's not bad.
18 cents of this, clearly a graveyard set.
Totally. Graveyard Masters. All right, here we go. Last uncommon. Slippery Bogle. Ooh, that's a modern staple right there.
95 cents.
Yeah, almost a dollar. Count it.
Get there.
All right, token.
Let's see if your rare takes you over the line.
Oh, I got a Merit Lodge token. Sick.
Oh, those are 50 cents. I'll count it.
Ooh. Damn right you will. All right. Should we do the rare or the foil? First.
Do the foil first.
It is... I can't read that. Molten Birth. Aw. Lame.
Less exciting.
Ooh. Check out that foiling, though. That's pretty pretty. Ooh. Not going to look that up for me, Bill?
I mean, it's 25 cents.
Nice. All right. And the rare. Here we go. I haven't looked at it yet. Bam. Huh. It's Through the Breach. Sick.
That's worth $16.
Oh, so is that the money back? 23 and 16, pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah, you're actually doing well.
Free pack.
All right. That means this one can disappoint you and it won't be that disappointing.
And it won't be that bad. Yeah, hell yeah. Let's get to it. All right. Last pack in the Ultimate Masters. What's an EV? Because just the rares mean I'm even now, so...
Yeah.
With the uncommons and whatnot, I'm actually over. So this pack is actually just gravy. So what's my token? It's an elemental.
Ooh.
Yeah. No, Bill had that one What's an EV that was stupid. What did you get? It was a foil mythic of some sort, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a foil something. Like, it wasn't, like, world-breakingly awesome, but it did actually pull out ahead.
Yeah.
For a ridiculously small sample size.
So I got a Molten Birth as my first common. It's like, whatever I get as a foil is in the next pack.
I mean, that's predictive.
Boom.
This pack's foil will have been in the first pack, and you'll create a causality loop.
Wandering Champion. There we go. I was waiting for it to focus. Because remember, on my screen, this is much smaller. So if I hold it up to the camera to try to see what it is, I can't really. Repel the Darkness.
I don't know until he says what the card is, because I'm seeing all of this on the same delay you guys are.
Death Denied. Okay. And then
such a graveyard set.
Patchwork Gnomes. Look at them. Aren't they something? Let's say.
slightly used.
Another shed weakness. All right. Yeah. Aha. Olivia's Dragoon. Okay. Another one of those. Bam. What is that? Fiery Temper. That's the Madness Burn spell, right? Yeah. Okay. So what do we got? Shiny, rare, one, two, three. Two uncommons, or two commons left. Damn, that's eerie. So what it was last time I counted. Boom. Skywing Aven. Okay, cool. And then last common is Faith's Fetters. Classic. Very good. Very good. I love it. One of my favorites.
Yeah.
All right, and that's my commons. Uncommons are Rally the Peasants.
20 cents.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
You know, so much we're weighing on that rare slot these things.
Hero of Lena Tower.
Roll all the way up here. 21 cents.
Nice. Last uncommon is, hey, it's Murderous Redcap. I don't need to be able to read that. I love this guy. Look at him. He's so cute. In a horrifying, scary way. Yeah.
Yeah, he's 25 cents.
Oh, man. Okay, so we're going to do the foil first, because chances are it's lame. Boom. And it is. It's a Sultai. I can't read that. Skullkeeper.
Ooh, that's probably not going to be great.
No, not at all. It's an uncommon.
The foil is 25 cents.
Nope, it's a common. Excuse me. Ooh, shiny, shiny. Okay.
Shiny quarter you got there.
And then the rare. Bam. I can't read that. Daybreak Coronet. Hey, that goes with my Bogle.
Oh, that's actually relevant.
Yeah.
But it is definitely a financial loss for this individual pack at $365.
Nice. I said it was the free one, so.
Yeah, it was the freebie pack. Like, if you'd started with this one, it would be a lot more stressful. Like,
So, there you go. The haul was... Hang on. Where'd the rare go? Oh, it's over here. So, the haul was... Ta-da! We've got the, Through the Breach, some Poor Manipulation, Daybreak Coronet.
Yeah, so on those three rares together, it's popping in at $43.85.
Ooh, just over what I paid.
With that sweet, sweet Merit Leech token.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. I don't know if I still have my Merit Leech token from 1,000 years ago.
It's not foil, right?
Yeah, the original was foil.
Yeah, I know, but like this one's not, so it's even more differentiated. You don't have to worry about your token curling.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Although now I can't find it. Oh, it's because it's in this pack. Stupid, it's right there. Ooh. Neat.
Okay, then. So, for $40, you too could maybe have $43 worth of stuff that you have to liquidate.
Oh, Pendulum just pointed out. Yeah, it's got the legendary crown molding on top.
That's true.
Which is extra bonus. Yeah. Crown molding at no additional cost. Yes.
Because you just spent $30.
So... So that is our What's an Eevee for Ultimate Masters. Clearly, if you buy three packs, you will get a small profit. Clearly. Not clearly. I mean,
that's our sample size, so I'm sure.
But yeah, that is exactly what our sample size says. And since that's how the internet works, is by anecdote. Well, I spent $40 and got $43, and that's just the rare, so yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's too bad Daybreak Coronet doesn't get the cool crown. It feels like it should.
But it's not legendary, Bill.
Yeah, I know, but it's a hat.
But
it's a light hat.
It is a light hat.
So, live that dream.
I don't think I like you very much. Okay. Hmm. So with that, again, thank you very much to Kim for the funds to go pick that up so I could open them on the show. Hey, look, I opened them on the show. And it was, I kind of wish I'd opened them in a different order so there was more tension, but, you know, I guess I could go in and change the editings. Nah, I'm not going to do
that. That's not fun.
Yeah.
You're not editing.
I'm not editing. What the hell? That doesn't sound like me at all.
A pod person. So, I think we're done then.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Then, we will go into wrap-up mode. So... you can find me on Twitter at SqueeGoblinNabob. There's no I in Goblin because it was unfortunately trapped in a coffee maker box that no one's opened yet. So when you find it, please send it home. I don't know how it got there either, but I'm looking forward to whatever stories it may tell. Past that, I'll note that yeah, as we're going into holidays, like, I will probably not be tweeting as much because I won't be sitting around at work. So that's kind of nice. But on the same note, I'm kind of more likely to show up on, you know, crazy Chewy adventures.
I'm sorry, I just saw you put possible show title Pact of Caffeination, and I'm about to die.
Well, that's probably the name then.
yep. Muting.
There you go. Don't die. Rule number one. And so given all that, I would also like to recommend that people definitely go check out some of the many fun movies that are floating around right now. Like, Spider-Verse has got an amazing collection of reviews, and so that's awesome. So probably go check that out. One of my friends saw Aquaman early and liked it. You can believe that. So
wait, one of your friends did the Amazon Prime early viewing thing?
I have no idea how she saw it early, but she saw it early and she liked it.
Did she see it on Saturday? Wasn't it the 15th when they did
it? I think so. That's probably was how it happened then. Yeah,
the Amazon Prime. It was very strange. It was like, hey, if you have Amazon Prime, you can see Aquaman early. And Bill and I were both like, what?
That is weird. But yeah, like, she saw it and she's actually a, like, comic book Aquaman fan. So it wasn't just a staring at Jason Momoa thing.
Which would be why that's obviously
the reason most people are going to see it.
Yeah. I think that's why Mom wants to see it too.
That's fair though.
Wait, no. That's the secondary reason Mom wants to see it. So, the first reason is because, what's a comic book movie? Okay, Mom.
I mean, that's a dangerous mentality to go with, but okay.
And yet when I said we have to go see Into the Spider-Verse, she goes, huh? And I went, Into the Spider-Verse, the new Spider-Man movie? She's like, what new Spider-Man movie? I went, did they not market this at all?
They didn't market it nearly as much as you would think.
Especially for how good it apparently is, like
it's the last time I checked, it was at like 98 or 99% on Rotten Tomatoes, and no one has said anything bad about it that I have seen.
I haven't seen anything negative, even not even any nitpicks yet.
Yeah, so
which is like what nerds do.
It's true. So go check that out. Like, I mean, I read the book, and it's not at all the same story as the book, but that's fine.
Yeah, neither was Infinity War.
Yeah, that's how they work. Yeah, so go check that out. It'll be a lot of fun. And other than that, I feel like there's other stuff coming out soon. I don't remember when Battle Angel comes out, but I will be the only person in that movie theater.
Oh, you want me to go with you?
I mean, do you want to see Creepy Eyes? Because, like, I'm all right with seeing Creepy Eyes.
I don't think I know.
February 14. Oh, it's a Valentine's movie.
Oh, will you be my Valentine, Bill?
I mean, maybe. We'll see what my options are.
For those of you watching, the dog conversation from before the show started up again, but it seems closer. So that people have been watching me look over here towards you with a funny look on my face.
I mean, that's part of the experience. That's just what podcasting is when there's no, like, clues around a comment. Call us out on it. Speaking of clues, we promise not to throw a lot of people at his mailbox, so be nice to clues. And given that, I'll probably be popping on when Chewy does some of his streaming over the next few weeks, because I still gotta get some Overwatch boxes, which you probably won't be streaming, but I'll probably be sitting around in the Twitch chat every once in a while when you're doing other stuff too. So that'll be probably the better place to find me for the next few weeks.
Seems good.
Yeah. So, go not clues.
Ooh, I'm not clues.
It's true. Tilde clues.
Does Tilde mean not?
Yes.
Oh. Where?
In logical function.
Oh, okay. I don't do logic.
That's fair. It gets in the way.
So, hi, I'm Chewy. And I, things...
Manipul.
I got stage fright all of a sudden. I don't know what to say. So hi, I'm Chewy, and you can find me all over the internet. Twitter is at the Manipul, and Facebook.com/TheManipul and YouTube.com/TheManipul. What's going on in YouTube right now? Let's see. The Messenger is winding down. It's almost done. The videos, that is. I finished the game, but 24, 25, I think there's going to be 27. Yeah, I think there are going to be 27 parts, I think. So all but two, as of this recording, are edited and uploaded and on Patreon to be going public over the next few days. Been playing some Hearthstone on stream, and so it's on, they're going up on YouTube, some of the good games. I've got a Slay the Spire run that I just started editing. The first video is done. The next two will follow soon after. So that's YouTube. Yeah. I've still got some bits from the charity stream, and I still have to do the Rend Blackhand fight from Heroic Blackrock Mountain. Someone asked me earlier today, hey, I thought you did that one. How come it's not on YouTube? It's because I have 3 hours of footage for that, because it took 3 hours. And I have to be far enough ahead in like videos to be able to like focus on editing that down to something watchable. Yeah. So
that's the place where you actually edit.
Yeah, and like a lot. So I haven't gotten far enough ahead to be able to even start that, but I'm 4 and this is 5. I'm almost a week ahead now, so I should be able to start that soon and get it up, hopefully sometime before the end of the year. But that's on YouTube. Over on Twitch, what have I been doing lately? Well, let's see. I failed at streaming Darkest Dungeon due to internet issues on Saturday. That was depressing. I really wanted to get into Darkest Dungeon, and I had people in the chat who were willing to help and offer advice, and yay, and then no. Just no. My internet was like, and I'm like, come on, work! And it's like, nah. And I finally got frustrated and called Spectrum, and I got the automated, we're aware of outages in your area, and we apologize for any inconvenience. And I was like, because I was, it was the weirdest thing, Bill, listen to this. I was streaming, like, after I shut everything down and rebooted the router and the modem, and turned it back on, and I started the stream. Stream could see me and hear me. I was streaming, but I didn't have internet. I couldn't open websites, I couldn't see the chat, nothing.
Oh.
But I was streaming. What?
Your ports are angry. The DNS wanted a good flushing.
No, that I tried that later. That didn't help. It was, upload speed was, let's see, how can I put this nicely? Dildos. My upload speed was dildos.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's like a King standard measure.
Exactly, right. Yeah. So, after I put in the call to, Spectrum, and they were like, yeah, we're aware of problems in your area. We apologize. I was like, yeah, had to kill the stream, but that makes me sad. But that's anyway, let's see. Over the last, a couple weeks, I've played, XCOM, Hearthstone, because a new set came out in Hearthstone, so I've been streaming a lot of that. I replayed No Guts, No Glory. Guts and Glory, there we go. Which I hadn't played. I played it on YouTube a long time ago, and I hadn't played it since the full release, and the game got weirder. I didn't think that was possible. I played the Rumble Run in Hearthstone, the new single-player mode that honestly don't like, and then I failed at streaming Darkest Dungeon.
Alas.
So yeah, I'll be doing that again soon. But yeah, that was the most recent batch of streams. Yeah.
Are you going to be doing a lot of streaming in the next few weeks, or are you going to take a break?
Well, I won't be streaming around Christmas, because I always go stay with the parents for at least a couple days, but I'll be kicking it back sometime a day or two after Christmas, probably.
Okay. Cool.
I don't know if you heard that. That sound was my elbow.
I did hear that.
YouTube videos should go up all through the holiday, I think. Tomorrow, for those of you watching live, I have some gifts to open. I'm not going to do it here on Monday Night Magic, but I will do it on a special stream tomorrow, and I'll record it for YouTube and all that.
So, it's the holiday special.
Yeah. And one of which I already opened, because dude was like, don't open it on stream. And then I opened it and I went, so yeah, that's going to get shown off on stream. So yeah, that'll be, for those of you watching live, that'll be tomorrow. Right here on twitch.tv/themanapool. Queen. So let's see, what else? Anything else? Nope. So hey, if you want to become a sponsor of Manapool Productions, you can do that on patreon.com/themanapool. Huh? Sounds all official when you say it that way, doesn't it? What, are you pointing at the Monday Night Magic logo?
I'm pointing at the pool under it.
Ah, yes. You can join the pool and become a lifeguard on Patreon. The, let's see, the uncommon lifeguards get the silver name in the Manipool Discord server and get the early access to YouTube videos and Manipool episodes. The, what's up? Uncommon. No, that was uncommon. I'm starting at common, but it doesn't start at common. It starts at uncommon. So the rare lifeguards get the golden name in the Manipool Discord server. Sick. And the early stuff and access to the odds and ends, all the stuff recorded before and after both Monday Night Magic and the Manipool, which are uncensored and unfiltered and generally unsafe for consumption. And I'm behind on those, but I've been putting them together piece by piece so that when I start posting them, they're all going to go up in a hurry.
They're very much off topic.
Yeah, it's all uncensored and unfiltered. And like he said, the beginning is sometimes spent figuring out what we're doing for the episode. And then afterwards is nonsense. Sometimes
afterwards is some combination of whatever links we wanted to share with each other while we're on the call.
Yeah. And sometimes before the show is that too.
Yeah.
Most of the time. Yeah. But anyway, it's just some behind the scenes nonsense of how we do things and what we're like when we're not live, which I assure you is just like when we're live, except with more swearing.
Checks out.
So that was rare. And then the mythic lifeguards get a mythic orange name in the Discord server and the early stuff and the odds and ends and the sponsorship shout out on both podcasts and on the end screen for all the YouTube videos each month. So I would like to thank our mythic lifeguards, Kim Ho. And again, thank you very much for the Ultimate Masters draft pack. And that was a hiccup. Excuse me. So Kim Ho, Andrew Hunt. Hiccup. Al. Hiccup is not a sponsor. Paul David, Lens Delicious, Team Uhelles Haryu, Connor Kennedy, John Morris, Alex Gonzalez, Jeff Spencer, Stuart Slaw, PJ McMullen, Sophia Bretain, Casey, Fayan Says, Danny Liao, Jason Doan, Cody Buckowing, Jake Jansons, Jason Kaus, Gothic Man, Brian DeLucci, Stark Maximum, Keith Moody, John Parker, Violet Moon, Dan Holm, Bartle, Mike Millerburn, and the Beast Father, Aaron Goodwine. Damn, that's a lot of names.
It is, and some of them were Stark's name.
So they were, yeah, as Chad is pointing out. So, yeah, also a big thanks to Dan Holm, who sent us Manipool Dorks a gift that I'll show off on tomorrow's stream. See, that's a teaser, see? It's awesome, though. I showed him to Bill earlier.
I was teased.
Yeah. I also showed him the present, though.
Yeah, that also happened, yeah. Odds and ends are weird, you guys. You should totally listen to them.
So, yeah, I have been Chewy. A big thanks to Squee, of course, for joining me. And a big thanks to Clues for actually taking a damn vacation.
Yeah, it's actually really hard to get him to do that. He doesn't stop.
He doesn't stop. But now that the school year is over, he's...
You have to put him on a boat and send him away from the internet for him to take a break.
It's true, yeah.
And then he comes back with ukuleles or something. Like, it's weird, but we let it happen.
Yeah. It makes him happy. That's all that matters.
Yeah. He needs this.
So remember, it's at La Cluzet, spelled just like it is in the show notes. And here's what you do. Go to his Twitter and tell him how much you appreciate him.
Don't tell him why.
So, with that, we'll be done. So this has been Monday Night Magic number 635. Remember, this is the last one of the year because we're not doing it again until next year.
Yep, so. We'll see you in 2019, which means you all need to dress like you're in Blade Runner or Akira, depending on your sci-fi preference, because we're there now.
Wow, were those both 2019?
Yep.
Huh. Neat.
Yep.
Really? Blade Runner was 2019?
Yep.
Jesus. We missed the boat on that one, but that's probably good, right?
I mean, we also got rid of Pan Am, so I mean, what chance do we have?
So everyone have a safe and happy holiday season and new year and all that good stuff, and we will see you next year. So thank you all so very much for watching and or listening, and go play some magic.